sincere heart and confess our sins to God our Father, pleading in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. And so we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your great grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
In them he has set a tent for the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber,
and like a strong man runs his course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them.
And there is nothing hidden from his feet.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the second book of Samuel, the seventh chapter. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go,
Do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, Go and tell my servant David, Thus says the Lord, Would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to be shepherd, to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord?
With your faithfulness all around you.
I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever.
With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations.
For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever.
In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness.
You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I will establish your offspring forever,
and build your throne for all generations.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord,
your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty.
I have exalted one chosen from the people.
I have found David, my servant,
with my holy oil.
So that my hand shall be established with him.
My arm also shall strengthen him.
The enemy shall not outwit him.
The wicked shall not humble him.
I will crush his foes before him,
and strike down those who hate him.
My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him,
and in my name shall his horn be exalted.
I will set his hand on the sea,
and his right hand on the rivers.
He shall cry to me, You are my Father,
my God, and the rock of my salvation.
And I will make him the firstborn,
the highest of the kings of the earth.
My steadfast love I will keep for him forever,
and my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his offspring forever,
and his throne and praise.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord.
With your faithfulness all around you.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 16th chapter. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, behold, the Virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
And they shall call his name Emmanuel. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace to you, dear favored ones of God, for the Lord who was with Mary is also with you. Our text is the announcement to the Virgin Mary by the angel Gabriel that she would conceive and bear the Son of God, especially the words with which the angel Gabriel greeted her. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. This is our text. Some greetings mean trouble. Like those times when my mom would use my middle name. Peter Francis, she would say. Or when your boss tells you to come in and have a seat. Or when the teacher says, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. In a different setting or spoken by someone else, we wouldn't find these same words troubling. When my wife used my middle name for our wedding vows, I was delighted. It all depends on who says it, when they say it, and where. We know immediately that some greetings mean bad news. Our sin has found us out, or some terrible tragedy has taken place. So it's no surprise that the Virgin Mary was greatly troubled when the angel Gabriel spoke to her. And as she tried to figure out what kind of greeting this was, what had God's messenger said to her that shook her up so badly? Only this: greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. These words might not seem like trouble to us, but this greeting seemed like trouble to Mary. Having grown up with the Old Testament scriptures, she knew that angels were rarely seen and only in the most exceptional circumstances. Though they could bring good news, more often angels brought judgment for sin and unbelief. So when Mary saw Gabriel, what ran through her head? Did she remember the cherubim with flaming swords that guarded the way to Eden? Or the angel of death that took the lives of the Egyptian firstborn? Or the stories of angels striking down tens of thousands in Israel and later in the camp of the Assyrians? It was one thing for Mary to be near the holy God through the temple sacrifices that he had established. But it was something quite different for her to be addressed personally by God's messenger in her own village, apart from the sacrificial blood. As it is written, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So I wonder just how troubled Mary was. And yet Gabriel's words themselves weren't troubling. They were actually fairly encouraging. He greeted her with kindness. He called her favored one. He said that the Lord was with her. But that didn't make sense to Mary. Why would she be singled out? What would God possibly want with her? After all, think about who she was. Just a young teenage woman, unmarried, and a virgin. Sure, there were occasions in the Old Testament when an angel had visited a woman, but when Sarah and Hannah had been visited by angels long ago, they were both barren women, married to important men, and up there in age. And each of them was told that the Lord would grant them a child linked to the promised Messiah. Mary didn't fit that pattern. She seemed the furthest thing from being favored by God. She was dirt poor, and she was from Nazareth. And everyone knows exactly what that means. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? No, as Mary stood in front of that angel, she must have thought she certainly could not be favored by God. Her life proved otherwise. Could the angel be mistaken? Maybe he meant someone else. I wonder if she glanced over her shoulder, expecting to see another person behind her. Mary was unworthy of the divine favor, and she knew it. She didn't deserve this greeting. She hadn't done anything to earn it. Like everyone descended from Adam and Eve, she too was conceived and born in sin. Sinful parents means sinful children, and she was no exception. And the same is true of us. Even if we're religious people, even if we lead halfway decent lives, we and our children are all born under sin and unclean. We deserve nothing from God except his punishment and his wrath. So it's no wonder that Mary quaked when she heard the angel. Maybe she thought something like this: would the Lord really greet me with kindness? What about my sin? Is it possible that I should receive divine favor? How can I, in the midst of poverty and sickness and death in this poor little village, how can I be blessed by God? What would move the Lord to have mercy on me rather than judgment? Though she felt lowly and despised, though she knew her own unworthiness, still the angel's words were most definitely addressed to her. There was no one else to whom the angel could possibly be speaking except Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Favor with God. That was the second time she'd heard those words. Do you think she was surprised? You better believe it. And you should be surprised as well, because you also are God's favored one through the Son conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. You see, the angel's greeting wasn't followed by divine punishment for sin. The angel's greeting wasn't followed by some terrible and horrific tragedy. The Lord's favor rested on Mary, and this is what it meant for her. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The special favor that Mary received was that she would be a mother, the mother of God. Her son wouldn't just play a supporting role in the coming of the promised Messiah. He would be the lead actor in this divine drama of salvation, the Messiah himself. The fulfillment of every promise would be in her womb for 9 months and then be born into the world. Think about those 9 months. Did Mary marvel at each hiccup and kick that she felt? Was she concerned about stretch marks? Did she experience discomfort and difficulty in sleeping as she carried this child? We see here just how great the great honor that God bestows on pregnancy, and how highly he views motherhood, and how valuable every human life is from the moment of conception. What the angel announced to Mary that day was good news not only for her, but it was good news for all people. The favor of God that met Mary there would be extended far beyond her. The Son would be given the name Jesus to show what he would do, that he would save his people from their sins. And he would sit on the throne of his father David to rule over an eternal, boundless kingdom. Jesus is both the Son of Mary and the Son of God. He is both the descendant of David, and he is David's Lord. He is true God and also true man in one person. And of course, the question that Mary has, how could she not have the question, is how could this be? A virgin birth is a contradiction. It defies everything we know about human biology, everything we know about reproduction. But the angel Gabriel there announced the unthinkable, the miraculous, what could only be divine. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Here was a child conceived not in the normal way, but miraculously by the Holy Spirit. This humanly impossible birth, defying reason and nature, was entirely the work of God. It reminds me of how God began the creation in the very beginning. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and from that Spirit hovering over the waters came the original creation and the first man. So the Spirit of God hovering over Mary would bring forth a new creation and a new humanity in her child. Being the Son of God, Jesus was a second Adam, born without the stain of original sin. Of all people who've ever been born, he was the one who truly found favor with God, because he alone was holy and sinless. And as God's favored one, Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor for us all. He secured favor for Mary and for all people in the sweet swap that he did on the cross. The sinless man bore our sin. The second Adam took the place of the first Adam and his descendants. The eternal one died. The one who was favored by God became rejected by him as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was by doing this that Jesus gained the favor of God for his mother and for all people. You see, God's favor is a free gift in Jesus Christ. It's not earned by what we do. It's not ours because of any merit. We don't deserve his favor one bit. And yet it's the very same thing as God's grace. It's shown to us because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The same thing goes for the favor shown to Mary. The angel addressed Mary as the favored one because of her highly favored son. She was highly favored because of the blood of her son, the blood that he would shed on the cross as a sacrifice for her sin and for yours. This is why, as Christians, we should not view Mary as one who gives us favor with God, but rather as one who receives and enjoys God's gracious favor. She is for us perhaps the greatest example of a Christian, one who hears the promise of a Savior and believes, even when that promise of a Savior was about the child to be born from her own womb. The impossible word that God spoke to Mary was not only that she, a virgin, would give birth to a son, but also that she, a sinner, found favor in the eyes of God because of that son. It all depended on Jesus. This is why in her Magnificat, her wonderful hymn of praise in Luke chapter 1, Mary called him God, my Savior. And so she receives the angel's message in faith. She is not deserving of the favor that has found her, but she recognizes that the favor she has with God is a favor earned for her by her son. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done for me according to your word. And now here's the point for you today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today you are each another Mary, because today you also have God's favor through her son. From that one miraculous conception and by that son's bloody death on the cross comes divine favor for you and for all people. And I know there may be times when you want to look over your shoulder and expect that that divine favor is really meant for someone else, but it's meant for you. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God gives it to us as a free gift. He has forgiven your sins for Christ's sake. He doesn't hold them against you. You aren't being punished for your sins. No terrible tragedy has come upon you. But instead, a Savior has been conceived for you. This gospel is a beautiful greeting. It brings the good news that you are highly favored by God and that the Lord is with you. It gives you a new birth through Jesus Christ into his eternal kingdom. What joy is yours, what joy is mine, dear Christian, as you and I live in this preaching, as we rejoice in our baptism, as we receive the very body and blood of the one who was conceived and born of Mary, and who brings us the very favor of God. The Lord is with you. Though the devil, though the world, though your sinful flesh would love nothing more than to rob you of this word and the confidence that comes from God's favor, the Lord sends you today a messenger, gives you today his gifts. And so, like Gabriel, I declare to you again today, in Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, you are God's favored one. The Lord is with you, and his face shines on you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Give your people boldness to confess their faith in the promised Savior. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bless the missions and mercy work of our congregation, especially the Reverend Dr. John Bombaro and his family, and the Livonian Lutheran Project, Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio, the mission in Eurasia, and the small Lutheran community in Italy. Seminarians Jackson Schofield and Paul Hammes, and our seminaries in Fort Wayne and St. Louis, the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Novosibirsk, Siberia, the preaching stations and church planting efforts in our own New England district, and the clients, staff, and boards of First Concern in Clinton and Marlborough and CareNet in Fitchburg. Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Especially we pray that you would look with mercy on Eric Studlian, Rich Verano, Carol Wade, John and Patty, friends of the Roaches, for whom we give thanks, Dan, Al and Bernie, Huguette, Phyllis Morris, Emily Murphy, the three-year-old grandson of Karen Hamill's nurse, Tom Connell's cousins and his sister Heather, and all who are sick or hospitalized with the virus, especially Emily Schaefer. Bless little Josephine Rose as she enters your kingdom today through holy baptism. Assist John and Stephanie that they might teach her the faith, encourage her in her life in Christ, and be examples to her of a godly life. Protect and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially those in danger of abortion. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Send your Spirit, we pray, on this bread and wine, that they may also be the body and blood of him who is coming in the clouds, that even now he may come to us and into us with grace and pardon. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
Amen.
Depart in peace. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Drink the true blood of Christ shed for you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.